and to Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his home, his anthem praise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome on a beautiful morning, a little chillier, but praise the Lord. It is the day that the Lord has made. So welcome to all, especially a special welcome to Larry and Robin Reinhold and two of their daughters from Rainbow Bible Ranch, our Mission Fest Sunday today, which means we also have potluck dinner following the service. So hopefully you can all stay. Whether you brought anything or not, don't worry about that. It always works out, and there is plenty. So please join us for that. The offering today, the congregation, you've known it for a month now at least, but just to reiterate, 90% of the offering will go to Rainbow Bible Ranch and the work that they're doing. 10% stays here for our Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Menno High School. Just make your checks to the church, though, as usual, and then we'll divide it out from there. So on the FCA note, I'll just say we're having a great year, and I want to say a special thanks to Ken and Lynn Winterstein. They hosted Larry and Robin and the girls yesterday and last night, and I guess I didn't ask if you're going back today or not. They're not sure if the girls can handle another night with Ken Winterstein. See, now's my chance, Ken. We love you and Lynn dearly. They are very faithful as well with FCA, and Evan, their son, has been helping this year. Matt and Marie Melhoff help, and Brady and Danielle Duxbury. Brady is the ag teacher here at the high school. So that's the leadership team of the FCA, and we're having a great year. And thank you. I thank God for the church here as you've supported it so faithfully all these years. Great things are happening. So, second announcement here, the Menno Olivet Care Center, there is a meeting this afternoon at the old gym at 2 o'clock for shareholders and community members alike. So hopefully you can come, and there's information that will be given there about where we need to go and what we need to do from this point forward. The Salem Spire is being given out this morning, last Sunday of the month, so if you came in another door, please, before you leave, go by and get yours, and that way we don't have to mail it out to you if you're here. We gain an extra hour of sleep this weekend. Daylight savings time ends, so this Saturday night, remember, set your clocks back an hour, enjoy that extra sleep, and come next Sunday morning. Next Sunday, this has not been in the bulletin, but the junior choir, the cherub choir is singing today. The junior choir is going to sing next Sunday. So parents of fourth through eighth graders, that's you, your children, okay? So make sure you're aware of that. This evening, I was asked to announce from Freedom's Reformed Church over in Tripp. The chairman of the consistory called and said they're having a music night this evening at 7:30, which it is sacred music, gospel music, a lot of special music happening. That's what it will be. So he wanted me to announce you're all invited over there. They'll have refreshments afterwards. So I'm sure it will be a great time. That's 7:30. Couple other things here. I want to say special thanks to Lori Whale for the decoration she did out here at the entrance for Thanksgiving. And Lee Guthmiller working long and hard yesterday to get the carpet laid out front as well. Last announcement, I believe. Meals on Wheels, it's our church's turn in November. Sorry, we didn't get that in last week. So what that means is we really need to try to fill that calendar up today of who can deliver meals through November, okay? We start Friday as the 1st of November and then through the month. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a glorious day it is. Anytime we're able to gather in your presence and in this sanctuary, it just brings joy and excitement to our hearts as we come to worship you, a holy God, our heavenly Father. And as we will soon sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name, as we will sing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. You are our creator. And we love you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for individuals that you call to do mission work within our own state of South Dakota in all kinds of various ways to proclaim your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and we honor you as such. So thank you again for filling this sanctuary with the glory of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you want to use your hymnal, it's number 3. Otherwise, the words will also be on the screen. Let's stand together as we sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy.
singing that out with all their hearts up here. Well, praise the Lord. Take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated. Of joys and concerns here, and certainly the joy and excitement in these first three pews is amazing. We thank God for all these little ones up here. Just a couple things that I have, and then we'll see what you have. Frieda Nuss, she's in the Freeman Hospital, I think as of Thursday night. They took her over, and she's doing okay, just some issues with the congestive heart stuff going on. So I don't know if she'll come home tomorrow or what, but be praying for Frieda. Also, just an update on Ty Balvin. So he was transferred down to Omaha, the hospital down there. I believe it was on Wednesday, and is, you know, making little steps forward really every day. I think yesterday when they brought him out of the sedation, he spoke some words and actually asked for a drink. They're hoping to do some reconstructive surgery down there in Omaha for him. So continue to lift him and the family up. Myrna Herbold, she's coming along really a little better each day with strength and getting around better after those two hip surgeries. So anything else over here that we have? Okay. Taylor, I had to see who that was. Oh, today. Happy birthday, Sherry Fryer. It's her 40th birthday. Praise the Lord. You're not at 50, so that's a good thing. Alyssa. Cooper Bent is 2 years old today. All right. Happy birthday to Cooper. Okay, over here. Yes, Alexis. Oh, say that again. Kiani's 18th birthday today. There you are. Happy birthday, Kiani. All right, exciting day. Okay. I'll just announce my dad has he'll be his 86th birthday on Friday, November 1st. So I haven't said much there. They're actually, I think my mom's doing better, I'll say it that way. You know, she's been off that feeding tube since January, and she's been able to maintain her weight pretty well, getting around a little better, so praise the Lord for that. Yeah, thank you for your prayers on that. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you again for this day that you've made. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, and we thank you for these little ones up here and the joy and excitement that is in their hearts as they are going to sing your praises here in a little bit. The childlike faith, Jesus, that you spoke to us about, let us have that. And the joy and excitement that they have, let us have that in serving you, Father. We thank you for birthdays mentioned here and for your goodness to all of these individuals. We thank you, Father, for Frieda. We lift up Frieda. She's over there in the hospital in Freeman, and I thank you that she's improving each day as well, and we pray that that continues. For Myrna Herbold, as she's recovering here in therapy at the care center, we thank you for renewing her strength day by day. And I know we have Florence here and Matha and sure if Idella, but those others, Lord, and all who are residents in our care center in Menno, we lift them up. And Father, we lift up our care center to you. We need your help. in a big way. Lord, it's such a wonderful blessing to our community and even our region. And we ask, Father, for help from unexpected ways to get over a big hump here, as it were, and to get back on the right track financially, and that it can be a blessing for many years to come here in Menno. Thank you for all that work there and serve there so faithfully. Thank you for the board, the current board of directors, and those that have served over the years and have all worked so hard to do what they could do, Lord, to turn things around. And so we lift up that meeting this afternoon and ask for it to go well. We pray just for wisdom in all of that. We pray for Ty Balvin, Lord, down there in Omaha. Father, thank you for the amazing steps that have happened since last Thursday night. Steps of improvement, little by little. And we just thank you for watching over him and your mercies upon him, your healing to his body. Be with Tina and Mike and the entire family throughout this time, and the students over at Freeman, such close friends and friends here at Menno and beyond in high school. We thank you for an opportunity to see your power at work. Lord, for the harvest, we lift it up to you. We're trusting you, Father, for right conditions to bring in what is still out there, which is quite a bit. Lord, thank you for the warm days you gave again this week. We know the forecast, what man says, isn't so great in the coming week, but we just trust you in all of this. As we sang that chorus, Lord, you are the one who makes a way when there seems to be no way. So watch over the farmers and all the helpers and all of those that work on the roads and the highways and the whole economy of the Midwest that is so based on the ag, what happens with the ag part of it. We thank you, for you are the faithful one. Lord, we do want to pray for our nation. Daily we do. We need healing throughout this land, Father. We need revival to our country by the Spirit of God, true revival, to turn the hearts of the nation back to you and to your word, that we can proudly proclaim that it is in you, Father, that we do trust, and it is in you where our hope is found. So thank you for being at work from the national government all the way down. And Lord, for our armed service men and women, protect them as they serve at home and as they serve abroad, helping other nations around this world. We pray and ask for you to give your angels charge over them. We thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. Jesus, when he was sending out the 12, that's the context of this, it can apply to us today. He said, "Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, and as you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. For freely you have received, freely give." So as I said today, our offering is to bless the Rainbow Bible brand, Rainbow Bible Ranch. It's not a branch, is it? No, it's a ranch. Thank you. And the FCA here. Let's receive our offering today. Can't get away with anything with these ones up here. Certainly it is so, Lord Jesus. You came. While we were yet sinners, you came to die for us. You, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And we are so grateful and thankful. And so as we give this Mission Fest offering, Lord, to the Rainbow Bible Ranch, thank you for what you've called Larry and Robin and their family to do, the effect and the powerful work it's having on children and youth across our state, and I'm sure other states that border South Dakota. A ranch and a ministry that was born out of great trial and adversity that you have caused to flourish and blossom in incredible ways. We pray that this gift, Lord, will be multiplied for what the work you have called them to do. And for our local Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we thank you for the privilege we have in our school to gather in the gym two nights out of every month through the school year. Thank you for the administration and the favor that allows us to do that. For all that have given in a very difficult year, Lord, in many ways, you see each one's heart, and you know every need for all of us who are gathered in here today. And I thank you for ministering to each and every one as only you can do, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That was good. You may be seated. The cherub choir, so this is three-year-olds up through third grade. They're going to sing a couple specials for us. Deb Schmidt and Ann Ramos are the ones that work with them. Thank you. place, can you sit down right where you're at? And if any other children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, Larry is going to share with you today. So, thank you, Deb and Ann, for working with them. And boys and girls, that was amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal.
My word. I think I'm upstage by this bunch. And the ties. Stand up. And then there's a guy over here with a tie on. You guys stand up. I didn't put a tie on today. You guys outdid me. I'm impressed. And you sang so well. A couple of you have been to Rainbow, haven't you? Who's been to Rainbow? Yeah, I thought so. You know what? Let me tell you. I went to grade school a long time ago. I don't want anybody to guess my age, okay? But I went to a country school, and there were only 12 kids in the entire school. It was good. And the name of the school was Alkali. You farmers know what we farm in now. Yeah. And I enjoyed it a lot. In my classroom, we would be the first graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders. And when we got a little bigger, we'd split up a little bit. But there were all these grades in the same class. I have a confession to make. I was never a fast reader. Anybody here have trouble reading sometimes? Yeah, I like to read, but I was so slow. Yeah, they could read better. And so I had a task to do when I was a third grader. How many of you are third graders? Okay. When I was in third grade, I was supposed to read a book and then give an oral or written book report. I could either stand up and give a speech about the book or write it all down. And so I went to our library at home and I found a book on, and I bet you'll figure it out right away, Pinocchio. Yeah, Pinocchio. You can pass that around and look at Pinocchio. You want to look at Pinocchio? Yeah. Okay, you pass it around. Well, the problem with this book, it was an old version and it was that thick. Talk about silly me. And I read and I read and I read and I read, and I was only about 25% through, a quarter of the way through. And then one day at school, an older girl named Debbie, she had read Pinocchio. And she gave a book report. And so she stood up there in front of the whole school, and she told all about Pinocchio. And Pinocchio was a puppet that became a little boy. But what happened? He would tell a lie, and what happened then? His nose would grow. Well, I listened to this very, very closely. Yeah, there he is. That's him. And his nose would grow. And I got this clever idea when I went home. I wrote down everything Debbie said. Yeah, you know the rest of the story. I wrote down everything that Debbie said in her report. And I went up to Mrs. Elbers that day, and I gave her my book report on Pinocchio. The problem was, I hadn't read the whole book. I had just written down what Debbie said, and Mrs. Elber said, well, thank you. I went home that night. You know how I felt? First off, I was very glad that my nose didn't grow. But I felt terrible because I had lied to my teacher. I gave her my book report on Pinocchio, of all guys, and I hadn't read the book. And I fretted and I worried, and I think God was working overtime in my heart, telling me that I had told a lie. And yeah. And I told my mom about it, and she said, well, you gotta tell Mrs. Elbers. So we hung around after school, all the kids had gone outside. Really? Yeah. Well, I went to Mrs. Albers, and you know what I told her? I said, I didn't read all of Pinocchio. I lied. Pinocchio.
I watched that movie.
Yeah. You know what I did? I was so glad because Mrs. Albers said, well, you go home and read the book, and you have to read the long version of it, and then you write another report on Pinocchio. And she gave me a grade on it. I passed. But I was so thankful that as a third grader, I learned that I shouldn't lie. And you know what else I learned when I was a third grader? That when God says, hey, you did something wrong, you need to tell others about it. You need to tell God about it. And you can't ignore it. So Pinocchio, every time I see him, I think of when I was a third grader, and I did the very same thing he did. I lied. But God forgave me. My teacher forgave me. My parents forgave me. And I tell you what, whenever I just even think about stretching the truth a little bit, I think of Pinocchio. So we don't want to lie, do we? It's a commandment in the Bible. And it didn't get Pinocchio very far either. Okay? Thank you. You guys, and you know what? Keep singing. Why don't you travel out to our area and sing for me sometime? Okay? All of you, and you can stay overnight at Rainbow. You know? We have enough beds for you. And you could do our concert. Okay? Who's your manager? Okay, thanks, kids. You did great. So.
Thank you, Larry. Okay, boys and girls, you can get your papers here. Thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm.
We saw a new guy.
Yeah. I'm going to read the scripture here in a moment from John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40, and then we'll have Larry come and share with us what God has put on his heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Father, thank you for your word, the very living word of God, your word that is truth, absolute truth. We are so blessed to have it today in whatever way we could even imagine, on our phones and, of course, in the written and through CDs and whatever other means. And so as we hear it read today, and Lord, as Larry shares what you've placed on his heart, we thank you again for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. John 18, beginning in verse 28, this is right before the cross here, this passage. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" Do you think I am a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Amen. So Larry, if you'd come forward, please. Wherever you feel comfortable, you can stand here or move around or whatever you desire to do.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for being here.
Yes, appreciate it. It is a pleasure to be here today. Robin and I came down yesterday, and Julie and Kirsten, we came down Highway 44. You know, Interstate 90 really didn't do anything for the public relations of what South Dakota is all about. And it was just a beautiful drive. And as we got closer, we saw some of the woes that you folks are putting up with. There's a lot of muskrat houses out in those cornfields. And you've done your part for Ducks Unlimited, it looks like. Our prayers are with you, our hearts, for sure. And I just want to share a few things here of our connections to Menno, South Dakota. In the late 80s, we had a young man work with us. His name was Pat Ireland. Yeah. How many of you know Patrick? Oh, my. Yeah. Pat just tickled me. I'll just tell you a quick story about him, because as you know now, he's an Army chaplain. We talked on the phone here probably about a month ago, or maybe we texted. I don't know. I don't text well, so we're probably on the phone. And he's working at Walter Reed Hospital, which really just makes my heart smile. When Pat worked with us, he was just right at finishing graduating from SDSU. And I don't know if I have any teachers in this bunch, math teachers, but he just graduated, I believe, with a math degree. How boring. And I said to Patrick, I said, what are you going to do with that? Well, I have to teach, I guess. But you know, he wasn't cut out to just be a teacher. And when he worked for us, I can remember a bunch of the staff and myself went to Perkins in Rapid City, and it was right during the rally, the Sturgis rally. You know, nobody knows where South Dakota is, but everybody knows where Sturgis is. And we were in Perkins, and here was all these biker guys and their lady friends. And Pat just got up from the table, and this is a bunch of teenagers, and he goes over and he looks at these bikers and he says, Do you folks know Jesus? And as Pat is sincerely sharing with them, and they're listening, I watched this other group of teenagers, you know, and even though they worked at camp, worked at Rainbow, I could see them kind of slide under the table. And that's what I always remember about Patrick. He loved his boys. Every weekend, that guy would write letters to the guys that were in his team. And then I find out that Pastor Mike and Pat are about the same age, and I thought, what a ministry heart that comes out of this area. And so that was my first experience with Menno, South Dakota. And then here come the Wintersteins. And as much as I love to joke back and forth with these folks, they have blessed our family and blessed the ministry and this community. And I am so thankful that we have had the privilege of knowing Kenny and Len and family. And And it just keeps happening. You guys are amazing. And you've really, really encouraged us over the years. Let's just have a word of prayer again. God, it's good to be here in the presence of your children. We love you. We look forward to what you have for us. Just make my thoughts here today clear. Yeah, that's my prayer, dear Jesus. Amen. Now, I know it's a risky deal when you preach and they're having a potluck set up back here and it smells really good. You know, I grew up in going to a church in Rapid City right across the street from a bakery. And in the summertime, the preacher did not go overtime because, you know, the windows were open and you could smell that bread. And us kids, we were just, yeah. So we got all kinds of good smells coming from back there. And I think the sound man has a deal on over there that when I hear it a sitting time, he's just going to click it off anyhow. So you don't have to worry. You'll get out of here on time and we'll go eat. You know, I have pastor share this scripture because the other night we actually studied this in our what we call our Legacy 3 Bible study. About 30 young people gathered together downtown Main Street Square in Rapid City. And I was just taken again when Pilate is standing there, a bunch of religious leaders outside really trying to throw a wrench into the whole thing. He's an appointed Roman official. Here's this guy that he couldn't find one thing wrong with him. And I can just picture him standing there, wringing his hands, thinking about the whole thing. And he lets out a statement that we probably hear quite a lot in this day and age. Maybe in a different form. But he just says, what is truth? What is real? You know, most of us have heard the term relativism. You know, everything is relative. You know, truth is whatever you want it to be. We hear that about human life, whatever you believe to be right. There's no black and white. There's no good or evil anymore. We look at people that are, 2 weeks ago in Bible study, it was kind of unique. You know, we live in an area where there's pretty high native population. And we were doing Bible study in the coffee shop there. And then an Indian fella comes walking by. And I think I'd seen him before and I waved at him. And he came into the Bible study and he said, I'm blankety blank 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 evil. But he said, my brother just died. Would you pray for me? I just was contacted, and I know some of the situations, even in this community. I was just contacted by an airman or two by out at Ellsworth Air Force Base. They said the suicide situation on base is rampant. A couple of these young men are just looking, and they said, can we just come out to the ranch? Said, we'll bring our own lunches and everything. We just got to get these guys out of town. I mean, it doesn't take long. You know, we don't have to turn on the news to hear the opioid situation or the alcohol, you know, that is just running around. Did you know that alcohol is the number one drug in South Dakota? Alcoholism. Young man that works for us is also a pastor at Newell. He started working and pastoring at this little church in Newell, South Dakota, 25, 26 years old. And in the first month of his ministry there, two of the couples announced they were going to get divorced. Families are hurting. There's pain written on. I mean, we get kids to come to camp, 400 or 500 kids a year, and some of the pain that these kids have been going through. You know what I'm talking about. Pilate said, what is truth? You know, folks, as we talk about missions, when I was a kid, you know, and many of you probably, and I think Mission Fest is great, but you remember the old mission conferences? I grew up in a church, you know. Mission conference was Sunday morning, Sunday evening, probably had something Saturday night with the youth group, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then you tried to figure out what you were going to send back to the mission fields with these missionaries. And they'd go for 4 years, no contact, back and forth, you know. Isn't it intriguing that it almost seems like the mission field has come to us? I don't know what it's like in Menno, South Dakota, but it's probably like this in Sioux Falls. Once in a while, I have to do a midnight run for camp, and I'll go to Walmart. I hate Walmart, but I mean, you'll get a few opinions from me. It just happens, so just bear with me. But I'll do my Walmart run at 2 o'clock in the morning, and oh my word, the reality of a third world culture is right at our back door. And people are saying, what do I believe? What's for real? Who can I trust? And some of them are coming right out, just like Pilate said, what is truth? And the confusion I think that Pilate was dealing with is, here's a bunch of religious people, the most religious, well, at least they thought they were, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. I'm sure that was just kind of blowing Pilate's mind. So this is really confusing. They want to crucify this guy, and there's nothing wrong with him. I think he really thought he had a foolproof plan when he offered Barabbas. He said, I got an idea. We'll get Jesus off the hook here. We'll offer Barabbas. And the people cried, crucify Jesus. What is truth? I've wrestled with that. When I talked about Pinocchio, it's easy to fall for the lie, isn't it? It's easy to chase that. It may seem more comfortable at the moment. But let's really be honest. You know, there's people all around us, maybe even with your own family, within your own family that are dealing with what is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a mission field. How are you a part of it? I just wrote a letter the other day, and I was thanking some people for their prayer and encouragement and their support. And I'll tell you what, let me say prayer first. When I have people come up and say, you know, we prayed for you on that day. You know, some of you became familiar with Rainbow Bible Ranch after Storm Atlas. We lost a lot of livestock. You know, our area right there lost about 50,000 head of cattle. We lost over right at 100 head of horses. We have a mission field right around us. And when people would say, we're praying for you. And on some of those days when you were just emotionally overwhelmed, you knew it. You could feel God's presence because people were praying for you. Encouragement. You know, I made my pot shot at Kenny Winterstein. But everybody, you know, and I'm not going to toot his horn. He wouldn't want me to. Talk about an encourager. There's a young man here in this audience, Blake Ramos. Right? The kid grew up. When he first came to camp, I tell you what, he was just an encouragement to me. And I think it was 2 years ago that we came down and did some services, some events or something over here. And Kenny said, well, we're going to go over to this other church. And Blake's going along with us. I thought, wow. And watching him get up in front and talk about his relationship with the Lord and about Rainbow Bible Ranch. What an encouragement. Don't kid yourself. You're not the Lone Ranger. Every one of us in this room will take a little bit of encouragement every day, won't we? When somebody just comes along and says, good job. Attaboy. Pat on the back. That was sure a good meal, Mom. And then the support. You know, I've heard good things about what's coming out of this. I mean, I heard the teenagers sing earlier. And then I tell you what, when I go to a lot of churches and there are a lot of gray heads, and I'm not picking on anybody here, but when you get a bunch of kids up here like this, there's a future here. I tell you what, you ought to go home from here and you ought to be jumping up and down with joy. And I don't know if you have to get all charismatic or Pentecostal when you do this, but you do it however you jump up and down with joy. But I'll tell you what, look at that. You need to back these guys up. You need to support them. Encourage them. And you know what I realized? I'm going to change the direction of this message here real quick, and I'll still get done in time for dinner, so don't worry. But they don't let me go to high school anymore. Too old. I'll tell you what, some of these kids that were standing up here, they have the best connection, the best opportunity to reach those high schoolers. And you know what we need to do? As adults, we need to come along them with them. We need to come along beside them. We need to encourage them. We need to support them. When I was a sophomore in college, I went to a Bible school in central Montana. And I am not a very good example of... Don't tell your kids, you know what? Ask Mr. Larry about his education and school and college and stuff. Because I went to college when I had time. And ranching really ranked high in my books. And so I went to a year of Bible college, and then I stayed home. And then I went, and then I stayed home because we were calving and things like that. And I don't regret my time in Bible school. I really appreciated it. I enjoyed it. It was very, very good for me. But when I was a sophomore, they were putting together a directory of the students' addresses, telephone numbers, and then they asked for a life verse. Well, that's that's when you want to come across real spiritual, you know. And so I looked for something, and I liked it out of the King James Version. It was Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I, Paul, beseech you, and this is Larry Reinhold paraphrase, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. I think a lot of the newer translations say the calling to which you are called. But it kind of means the same thing. And I think the reason I enjoyed sharing that verse with the other students at the school there at Lewistown, Montana, was they would ask me, so what are you going to do with your education? Why are you here? This was a preacher training school or a missionary training school. Homiletics and hermeneutics and all that stuff, and people would ask me, Larry, why are you here? And I'd say, well, God told me to. Okay, that sounds spiritual, but why are you here? I said, well, I'm going back to the ranch. Well, why aren't you at SDSU or Bozeman or Laramie or whatever? I said, well, because God said to go to Bible college, and he said, then you can go back to the ranch. And I'd get that look once in a while. Why are you here? And I thought, well, I'll leave my last ditch effort. Well, you know what? I just want everybody to know that I'm going to walk worthy of the calling that God has given to me. I want to walk worthy of the vocation. And if God's putting me putting me back in agriculture. I want to do a good job. Well, it was really kind of fun because I, the second year that I was at MIB, Montana Institute of the Bible, my brother Lyle was there also, and we did a lot of things together. Lyle was only 15 months younger than me, and so we were chore partners. We did lots of things together. My brothers were my best friends, and so we had a lot of fun there, kind of spreading our wings just a little bit. It was kind of a safe place to do that, and I had made a decision that I was no longer going to be this shy country kid in Sturgis. I was going to stretch a little bit. And I got to spend time with my brother Lyle, and then at the break there, I went home, and my brother Lee was a senior in high school, and he was living it up, enjoying life, very well liked, loved the Lord, didn't compromise, homecoming royalty, FFA president, band, did musicals, I mean, everything. And I got to spend time with him. And I cherish that. And I got to spend it there at home on the ranch, calving cows, chasing horses, riding colts. And some of you have heard my testimony, but I just want to share with you briefly how God does things. Because it was Memorial Day, May 1979, that we had just branded a bunch of calves, and we went out and did something that we all enjoy doing, and that's fishing. We had big trout in our one dam, and two of the boys were out in a boat, and big storm came up, tipped over their boat. Lyle and I went out to try to help them. By the time we got there, Lee's friend Wayne was already gone, and I reached into the water to try to grab Lee, and our boat tipped over, and that was the last time I touched my brother while he was still alive on earth. And then, a little later, as I was trying to help Lyle back to our boat tipped over too. I couldn't do it any longer. By the time it was said and done, I was laying on shore, exhausted, hardly knowing how I got there. And my two brothers and a friend had died. The world called it a tragedy. I tend to call it an incident. Was it difficult? It's probably one of the most difficult things our family ever experienced. But a week before this incident, this situation, this tragedy, Lyle and I were sitting out in a boat right along the shore fishing for trout. And we had a good brotherly discussion, argument. He was going to go to Idaho to work summer camps, and he needed to raise a little money. And he told me very, very directly, he said, you know, there are other ways that people can be part of the ministry, and they can give, and they can support, and they can pray. And he made sense to me, and he talked me into that. And then I know a couple days later, he asked our family, he said, Dad, Mom, family, I'd like to start a camp someday in western South Dakota. Will you back me up? And we prayed about it. We determined that it was what God would have us do. We really thought that Lyle would be probably the head of it. Lee, he was a musician. He had dreams of going to Bible school too. I could see them running the ministry, and I could be running the cow herd. And then May, Memorial Day, 79, took place. And we had to do some hard thinking, hard praying. Do we continue on with this ministry? Not just a dream, because we had already committed to it as a family. Do we continue on with this ministry? And by August of 1979, less than 3 months after the boys died, we were building the camp building. And so this is our 40th year of doing ministry at Rainbow Bible Ranch. Walk worthy of the calling that God has given to you. Isn't it great? I love to tell my MIB friends, isn't it cool how God led me back to the ranch. I still get to do a lot of the things that I thought I was going to do back then. Isn't it something that when I take the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the world comes to me? I don't know if I figured it up this year, but a year or two ago we had 21 states represented. Isn't it wonderful that in a world that is breaking down, we can bring them out here to the ranch, ride horses, sleep under the stars, eat good food, and share with them the truth. The truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. Ministry's hard. Ministry's tiring. But I can't think of anything else I'd want to do. Because this is a calling that God has given to me. And I don't expect anybody in this audience to pick up and do what I do, or do what Pastor Mike does, or Kenny Winterstein, Len Winterstein, or Blake Ramos, or anybody else. Robin writes all our music for camp. Every summer she writes a new theme song. She's good. God has not asked me to write music. In fact, he kind of leaves me out of singing of it half of the time, too. But he has given to you different ways, different gifts, different opportunities, different talents to present the truth to a lost and dying world. And ladies and gentlemen, if you walk out of here and you don't do it, you're not walking worthy of the calling that he has given to you. Don't you love those passages? I think it's Thessalonica when Paul says, I've heard about you people. The work that you're doing there. Well, guys, gals, ladies, gentlemen, moms, dads, boys, girls, I've heard about the work at Menno. I've had the privilege of speaking at one of the FCA banquets. It's amazing. Keep it up. Missions isn't just a one Sunday thing in this outfit. I love it. Thank you for the opportunity. Walk worthy of the calling. You know what? We know what is truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus said that. John 17:17. The word is the truth. Tell it. Share it. Give it out there. And you know what? We're going to have to find it anymore. We're going to have to do it even sometimes when people don't want it. They don't think they want it. Give it all you've got. Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Mike.
Amen. Thank you, Larry, and Robin, and family for all that you do. Thank you, Steve. Amen. We're going to sing, before we sing our closing hymn, the offering was $6,646, so praise the Lord. Amen. And we will get that divided up. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. Well, today is also Reformation Sunday. I don't know if you knew that or not. So we have to sing Martin Luther's hymn, of course. A mighty fortress is our God. Let's stand together. Good. All right. Let's sing it out. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal is our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel fate. Let me have a closing prayer, and we'll pray as well for our meal. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for the ministry that you've called Larry and Robin and their family to do. An amazing ministry out there in western South Dakota. And for those of our young people who've been able to go, I pray they'll be able to go again, and probably many more from here heading out. Thank you for your guidance and direction to the Reinholds, for your anointing upon them, and Lord, for this gift that we have to share, to bless them with, for you to multiply it many times over, for the work you have called them to do. We thank you for this. And Father, for the meal now that we are about to receive, thank you for all who have brought and prepared parts of it. Let it be sanctified and set apart for your glory, for the nourishment and strength of our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. If there's some of our older ones here that are staying, please make sure they get helped through the line, okay?